Book of Ezekiel, 13th chapter, to what we feel the Lord has laid on our heart. I got this, it's one day this past week. I just couldn't sleep. I was in the middle of the night, and I got up about 2:30. Brother Ed, I'm getting an echo somewhere, brother. You got something on up here. And he may have got it now. Maybe it's not enough people in here. Maybe that's the echo. And I laid there at about 2:30, and I just lay there, you know. So I said, well, I might as well get up. So I got up and I went in there. I said, well, I knew I was going to have to speak at a funeral. So maybe I get some thoughts and what the Lord would have. And I got in there, and the Lord began to give me this message here. Amen. Ezekiel in the 13th chapter and verse number 3. He said, thus saith the Lord God, woe. You know, when the Bible says woe, it means, you know, you better take note. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Title of what we're talking about tonight is Blind, Misguided Zeal. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are, and we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, Father, for the service this morning, the word, Lord, that we received. Lord, it went along with what Brother Mike was singing, God, that, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, if you be for us, who can be against us? Lord, that you go before us, Lord, you're a great provider. Lord, we just need to trust more in you and be mindful more of you. Lord, we just love you. We praise you, God. Father, I'm just so thankful, God, for the calling that you have put in my life and allowed me the privilege, Lord, to have a job in the kingdom. Lord, I thank you for that, Lord. Have me never take for granted, God. Father, but I just appreciate you entrusting me with it. And Father, help me always, Lord, to do my job for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Amen. Blind, misguided zeal. He's talking about here is kind of like people doing their own thing. You know, we live in a time when people do their own thing, you know. Whether it's out in the world, whether it's in church, whether it's in the services, you know. We just, you know, whatever comes to mind, that's what people will say, or that's what people will do. Whatever pops in their mind, you know. But, you know, that's doing their own thing, you know. God don't have any long rangers, and you know, we have to be led by the Spirit in everything that we do. Amen. It's important. I asked the Lord one time, you've heard me tell the story before, and my sister and I was talking about a family that had some kind of problem, and I think one of their children had some problem or something, and she said, David, see that family there? I said, they're some of the nicest people you ever want to meet. And they're just wonderful people, you know, just love the Lord, and they're just wonderful people. And she said, why has they got that child that way? And I said, I don't have an answer. And it stayed with me a few days, and I was walking into work one morning, early in the morning, had to walk a good ways, and I began to talk to the Lord, and I said, Lord, why is it that sometimes bad things happen to good people? And he answered me back quicker than he's ever answered me before. He said, son, it is so important to be led by my Spirit. And so often we do things and just everyday things without thinking about it, without asking the Lord, involving God in it. And then it don't turn out right. And we wonder, well, Lord, why did it turn out right? Well, you didn't involve God in it. Amen. Even to when we're going to have children. I mean, if we'd get down and pray even before we have children, it's the Lord, you know, we just got married and we, you know, if it's your will, we have a child. Amen. I mean, in everything, going to buy groceries. Lord, I'm going to buy groceries. You know, groceries are high nowadays. So Lord, lead me by your Spirit. We go to buy clothes. I mean, if we would do this, amen, who knows? Who knows what would take place in our lives when we come to the house of God? Help me, Lord, to be the key to the service, Lord, that would bless the service. Help me, Lord, not to get in my own way and my own abilities and my own thoughts and what I think I need to do to disrupt, but help me, Lord, to be an asset to the service rather than a distraction to the service. Help me to add to the church, not take away from the church. Amen. That's what he's telling us here tonight. Amen. While meaning good, many people, while meaning good, blind, misguided zeal, while meaning good, can be very destructive. Amen. I mean, there's been a lot of Christian people who meaning and good meaning, and you wanted to do, and you're trying to do the right thing, but it was the wrong thing to do. Amen. Over in Romans in the 10th chapter in verse 1, it says, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I mean, you know, the 10th and 11th chapters of Romans here, Paul is really, 9th, 10th, and 11th, is really addressing Israel. And most of the time, if you read close in Paul's life, when he got in trouble, it's when he was trying to help Israel. Well, he wasn't called for the Jew. He was called for the Gentiles. But he was a Jew, and he loved his people. Amen. Sometimes you get in bigger trouble with your own family than you will anybody else. But he says, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. A lot of times people, you know, they're ignorant to the operation of God or what we should be as Christians. And so they just go forth and do what they think, do their own thing. That's what he says right here, that they follow their own spirit rather than God's spirit. Amen. And they get in trouble and they cause problems. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. Zeal, but not according to knowledge. Blind, misguided zeal can be dangerous, destructive, and can kill people. There's been people who gave up on God because people was blind and misguided zeal. I mean, they actually thought they was doing the right thing, but they just made a mess. Amen. And it caused some people to quit on God. And we shouldn't be that way. Amen. Paul writes to the, you know, the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had a problem with this. They had a lot of blind, misguided zeal. They had zeal, but it was misguided. You know, and I was brought up in church and you know, I've been saved for about 30 years, so I've seen a few times when it was some blind, misguided zeal in services and things like that. And you have too, I'm sure, if you've been around very long. Amen. And so Paul writes at different times in different places to the Corinthian church. He went there first, and then he wrote them two letters back, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he's addressing some of the blind, misguided zeal that they had. There was a fleshly church. The Corinthian church is a fleshly church. Amen. They was in the flesh. They wasn't led by the Spirit. They did things fleshly. I mean, it's a lot of things I could go into tonight, but I'm going to kind of go one direction here, but I'm branch off from it. It's not that I'm just talking about this one subject in the 14th chapter. He's talking about tongues. I'm not just addressing tongues, but the whole matter of how that we conduct ourselves in service. Amen. He says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse number 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now he starts it out this way to let people know I am not belittling tongues at all. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm not belittling tongues tonight or anything that I may talk about tonight. I'm not belittling it and saying to not have a place. But it has a proper place in the church. Everything has a proper place in the church. Amen. We sing songs, but we don't sing songs while the preacher's preaching. Amen. We have Sunday school, but not when the choir is singing or the praise team is up here singing. Amen. Everything has its time and has its place in church. And we have to understand that. We have to understand these things. That everything, the old saying, every action has a reaction. Amen. So everything that we do, if we are not led by the Spirit to do it and do it in the right way, it brings confusion and it could bring to the point of destruction and actually kill people. So we have to make sure that we're doing it in the right way. Now, you'll never please everybody all the time, you know, but still we have to do it in the right way. It's one thing not to please people when you're doing the right thing. It's another thing is not to please people when you're doing the wrong thing. Amen. So we got to do it right. Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, we got to do it right. Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in church, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now some churches will take this and say, hey, you're not supposed to speak in tongue in church. That's not what Paul is saying. You're missing the whole point of what he's saying. You got to understand the Corinthian church, they was misusing tongues. Tongues is a good thing. It is needful in the church. It's very important. Amen. It's an important part. It's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we need all nine gifts working in the church. But what he's saying here, that if you misuse them, then you're abusing them and you're causing confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Amen. I remember one time I was in a service and the pastor was trying to preach. And this woman just kept on with tongues. And I knew it was praise tongues. I mean, you tell the difference if it's tongues to be interpreted or praise tongues. I mean, if it's praise tongues and they're speaking in tongues and they get to the end, they just start saying, I praise you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you. That's praise tongues. You're praising the Lord. You know, and you know, the Holy Ghost don't come over you and just grab your tongue and you start talking. No, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Amen. Just like it's no interpreter, you just sit there and just pray quietly. You can pray under, just like you can talk under in your spirit. Amen. You pray in tongues in your spirit. Amen. He says, verse 20, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. In other words, understanding how to conduct yourselves in church. Amen. He says, and he said, brethren, be not children in how to conduct yourself. See, children don't know how to conduct themselves. I mean, they'll talk in church, they do things, they disrupt. If you don't watch them, if a parent doesn't take care of, you know, they'll be disruptive. Well, he says, in services, don't be like children. Don't be disrupting services. Don't be doing chaotic things in service. Know what we're doing. Be led by the Spirit that there be not no confusion in the church. He said, howbeit in malice be ye children. In other words, don't know how to do malice. You know, if you want to be a child, then when it comes to malice, that way you don't know how to, I don't know how to do malice. But in understanding, be men. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. See, he's telling you that tongues are necessary and they're part of the church. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? Come on now. I mean, not only in tongues, I'm talking about everything in services. If there be people come in who is not used to Pentecostal and they see all kind of stuff going on, you got something going on over here and something going on over here, they're doing their own thing over here and they're doing their own thing over here, they're doing their own thing up here and they're doing their own thing back there. I mean, that people be looking around and say, what's wrong with these people? Amen. Have you heard of, you know, people, you know, I've not seen it so much, but I've seen them where I heard stories where they'll be, you know, shouting and running and hitting a sheetrock wall, knocking holes in it. Can you imagine a visitor coming and seeing people run and knock a hole in sheetrock? They say, what's wrong with them people? Let me tell you, God's not in that. God is not in things that confuses people. Just like somebody would just said it all service long, speaking tongues, and he says, God is not in that. That's confusion. Amen. If tongues come in a service in a form, now if we was up here at the altar praying and people praying around the altar and they then are praying and they speaking in tongues, that's well in order. It's not disrupting the service, but out in a forum like this, and y'all have heard it, been in a service where tongues would come forth, it would be tongues to be interpreted. And if tongues come forth and there's no one to interpret it, don't just keep on and on and on again and again and again, because there's no interpreter, just remain silent. But tongues are for the unbeliever, that whenever tongues that is interpreted is for the unbeliever, that when they come in and they hear, it is the most beautiful sound that you've ever heard. When all of a sudden the preacher is preaching and all of a sudden there's boop, dead silent, not a baby crying, nothing is happening. I'm telling you, when it's the real deal and the tongues will come forth with boldness, amen, and you feel your hair standing up on your back, and then the interpretation of those tongues, I'm telling you, it moves even the unbeliever to believe there's something to that. Amen. He says, what scripture I'm at? 23, I read that one yet? Okay, 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. In other words, whenever the tongue's interpreted, it is the same as prophesying because it's in your native language. Prophecy is something told in your language. Prophecy can come through a message, a prophetic statement. You know, sometimes when I prayed for people, a prophetic statement will come into them. Amen. And sometimes in preaching, I know a prophetic statement comes through the preaching sometime. Or I've been in services where someone will stand up in the service, and instead of speaking a message in tongue, it'll be a prophetic statement come forth with boldness, just like in tongues. That is prophecy. You know, as something, prophecy is something that'll happen in the future. How do you know if they're a false prophet? If it don't come to pass. Pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God, anyhow. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if somebody comes in and all this chaotic stuff's going on, it's almost to them like a circus, a bunch of sideshows. You know, God's not in that. Amen. It says, verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report to God that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone hath a psalm and hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto what? Say it. Edifying. I mean, we might all come together and we have a lot of things that we want to do in a service, but we can't all just jump in there and just throw it in there and, you know, just come on. It has to be done to the edifying. If it don't edify the body of Christ, that's everything that we do in our life, outside the walls and inside the walls, in a service, everything that we do should add to that service. But if it takes away from that service, it ain't God. Edifying means to build. Amen? To build up. That's what edifying means. It means to build. It means to build the character of the church. Everything that we do, that when visitors come in, it should be to build the character of our church. We should know how to conduct ourselves as men. Amen? And every one of our actions that we take. Oh, Brother Dave, when I'm in the spirit, I'm not in control of myself. Well, you better get control of yourself. Come on. The Holy Ghost don't come in and make a mess of you. The Holy Ghost comes in to give you the tools and to back you up and everything and show you how to operate. But the Spirit is subject to the prophet. So when people come in, they see us doing and being professional Christians. And they say, my, look at the character of that church. They're the real deal. I remember one time I was in the storefront and a fellow came in and his wife, and I could tell you where they went to church at, but I think they must shout every service, you know. I love to shout, but it's like somebody said one time, I heard they had like 30-something services and the preacher ain't preached. They shouted the whole time. I said, well, how in the world are you learning anything? Devil ain't afraid of a shout. He ain't afraid of boo. It's the word, you know, but he got up to sing a special and he must have had a little thing he did at his church. The church break out in a shout where they, you know, up there and they just kind of jerk like that a little bit and the whole church starts shouting, you know, he did it and nothing happened in our church. We all sitting there still looking at him. I don't want to move unless it's the real deal. Do you? Come on. It's the real deal. I get in there and shout with you. But it ain't the real deal. I don't want nothing to do with it. Amen? Like the old story, you heard it. You know, one lady was in the old church, and you know how they had the old wood floors, and the knot was missing. There's a hole there, and she had a high heels, and she was standing. They were all standing there, and directly her heel went down there, and she went back like that, and the whole church broke out in a shout. That ain't God. Man, come on. We got to get it right, don't we? I'd rather never ever shout nor feel the presence of God if I had to do it in the wrong way. It says, verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. In other words, you'll never be in a service where there's more than three tongues and interpretation in a service. I've never been in one. I've been in one where it's been three tongues and interpretations, but I have never been in one that's more. Amen. Now, I've been in services too, and there'd be three tongues and interpretations given out, and about four prophecies. You can prophesy as many times as you want. The prophecy just keep coming. But it'll only be three tongues and interpretations I've ever seen in any service. It says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let others judge. Okay, whenever tongues and interpretation are given out, then we're all to judge. Is that really God or not? So you don't be taken in. Everything is said. I even tell you, check me out when I'm preaching. Amen. It says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophet are subject unto the prophets. For God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Well, God's not the author of confusion. Amen. In other words, if it's confusion, God's not in it. If it brings confusion, God is not in it. Oh, God used me tonight in the service, but everybody else was confused about it. I don't think it was God using you. Amen. I think it was, what was he say right over here? Following your own spirit. That's what it says. And have seen nothing. Glory to God. God wonderful to us. What is confusion? Confusion is disorder. God is not the author of disorder. It means commotion. God's not the author of commotion, instability, disturbance. God's not the author of disturbance, dishonor. Amen. See, Paul is not belittling tongues, but the misuse of tongues. And tonight I'm not belittling the things in a service, whether it be shouting, whether it be prayer for people, whether it, what anything that goes on in a Pentecostal service, quote, if you would. And I'm not belittling any of it, but what I'm talking about is the misuse of it. Amen. Makes people sick. Hallelujah. In other words, if you mix flesh and spirit, it is like mixing doubt and faith. You got yourself a mess. Amen? Did y'all agree with that? Would y'all agree with that? Flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit war against one another. You get a bunch of flesh in the church, you got a problem. You get a bunch of flesh in the service, you got a problem. God's a spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit of God in all things. Amen? I've seen times in services when the enemy would come in to, you know, and use people to disrupt the service. I've seen times where they would discourage others in the church or disrupt the word from coming in. Amen? I've seen times when, you know, it's almost time for the message to come, the word of God, and the enemy don't want you to hear the word of God. And by the time the preacher get up, they get up and they wander up. I want y'all to pray for me. I mean, you ain't seen them in 5 months, and they go, I want y'all to pray for me. No, the word of God's fixing to come forth. Well, y'all got to have to pray. Well, take them in the back and pray for them. But the word's coming forth here, amen. Not going to disrupt the word. Carry them in the back somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. They haven't been in church in 5 months and they expect the church to drop everything they're doing and whimper to their needs. No. Just carry them in the back, you know? You start praying for them, they'll be falling all into people and all over everybody. Look, God's not in that. Amen. I told you, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. When you lay hands on somebody and they fall back in the floor, you don't have to catch them if it's the real deal. If it's the real deal, they're not slapping people with their arms and messing their hair. You ain't got no hair to mess up. I ain't going to mess no Steve's hair up, Brother Hollis. Oh, look at here. I mean, they're not, you know, doing this and messing her up, knocking their glasses off. Come on. Knocking holes in the wall. That ain't God. Running over. Come on. God's not the author of confusion. A lot of times, years ago, you know, didn't always have a microphone. It's kind of, but a lot of times I lay it down and somebody I just don't really know, I'll take and lay my hand behind their head and anoint and pray for them. I don't want to be accused of pushing them down. Amen? If they're going to go down, they're going to go straight down. Amen? Well, he pushed him. I mean, you know, people get caught up in themselves and they'll be praying for people and push them back. And I mean, you know, they can't help go back. So, boy, the power of God's moving them back. No, it's your arm moving them back. Just lay your fingers up there. I mean, you know, you're not going to beat the devil out of them. Power's going to cast the devil out. I mean, we have to conduct ourselves. Paul looked at the Corinthian church and he says, we got a problem with flesh. He'd go there to teach and speak or something, and he can't for all the flesh. I mean, that one place, chapter 7, he talks about this man is going with his mother-in-law in the church. I mean, it's full. I mean, Corinthian church was a fleshly church. First John 4:1, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. That's pretty simple right there. But try the spirits whether they're of God. Amen? I've seen that, you know, you come up and you... You know, you start praying for them, and they just shake all over, just stand there, shaking, you know. And then they say, I want you to give me a prayer cloth for so-and-so. That wasn't God. Come on, you can't turn off that quick. Come on. Come on. You ain't fooling me. You don't need to fool me. I don't care. In fact, shaking and shouting is not one of the 9 gifts. Now, I love to shout. Now, I'm not belittling shouting. I love to shout. Feels good. I'm not talking about hollering. Of course, some people holler. You know, you ever go over and stick your hand in that power and see what you do. I mean, some people just stand there. And some people, some people jump, you know. It's power, right? And when you feel, it feels good. I mean, no, sometimes it feels good. Amen. Feel the presence of that power. It feels good, you know. I mean, people go out there and buy drugs to get that feeling. Amen. It's wonderful to feel the presence of God. I'm not belittling. Don't take me wrong tonight. But what I'm belittling is the misuse of God's things. Misuse of zeal. Amen. I love shouting and, you know, dancing in the spirit. I've seen it all. I've told you about some of the things I've seen. It's amazing. You know, I'm talking about when, you know, I remember one service was in and ladies was in a circle and they was just all, they had their eyes closed. They wasn't paying attention to one another. But don't only know if they realized they was in a circle, and they was just a dancing. They was dancing. And the dance, there's always dancing the same dance. And all of a sudden it would change and they go to another dance, a different style. And they would all, I mean, it was so amazing. They had their eyes closed and they was just, but it was so amazing. And they went through, I don't know, 5 or 6 dances. One of them, they did the Charleston. They was actually doing the Charleston. I said, Brother David, I don't believe that was God. Man, you had to be in the service. You had to be in that service. It's over my dad's church, a church we got saved in. Amen. That's a service that night. That young boy that always came in, Dean, he's dead now, but he'd always sit in the back. He'd come in right at the time of service start, and the time I said amen, he's gone. Sit in the back, never said anything to anybody. Quiet, reserved individual. And that night he was back there and he came to the altar and they was around him praying for him. He'd come and got saved and they was praying for him, you know, and them ladies that was dancing had got around him and dancing or was praying for him. And my niece was in the spirit. I could see her face, boy. You see she was there, but she wasn't there. She was in the spirit, man. And she got hit and she just pulled all them other women's hands off of him. And I mean, she was in fervency and she got him by the hand and carried him to the vestibule back there. And when he got back there, he just started speaking in tongues, you know, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he started jumping and running. He came around. He got up into the choir, up into the pews in the choir, raised his hands up and he was leaping and jumping and praising God. I'm talking about a guy that never said nothing in church and sat in the back. I'm telling you, that was a change in that boy. After service, Brother Danny, he was so drunk that he couldn't drive home. Somebody had to drive him home. He couldn't walk straight. Drunk in the spirit. See, there's a real deal. The world is hungry for the real deal. They done seen enough of that junk. Don't need no more of that. What happens is people see all that stuff and they're afraid of the real deal. The real deal will make them look like that and do like that. No, he won't. The real deal will do right. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Don't let discourage you. I love to shout and I love to praise the Lord and I love to dance. But I'd rather see the gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation. Amen? You see, there's some people in the church world that has never operated one of the nine gifts or any of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. And then they'll turn to others and say, you need the Holy Ghost. And they look back at them and think, they better not say it. If it makes me act like you do, I don't want the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory. Let me ask you a question. Can the wrong action prevent others from wanting the Holy Ghost? How many agree with that? Then we need to always do the right action. What do y'all think? Yeah, self-control, self-discipline, self-evaluation. Yeah, after a service, we need to evaluate how I acted. You know, self-control. That goes in the flesh and it goes in the spirit too. Luke 11:52, it says, woe unto ye lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and have ye entered in, you entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. I want you to pray with me right now. Just stop where you're at right now. Just close your eyes and I want you to say, Lord, help me not to be a hindrance to others. Lord, help me not to be a hindrance to others. Lord, help me to edify the church, not to be a hindrance. What does hinder means? It means discourage. It means prevent. It means keep them from. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. In other words, it didn't come in just a show. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:1, he says, and brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. In other words, Paul said, I didn't come to you in flesh. I didn't come into you in flesh. I wasn't showing flesh off. I wasn't trying to lift up Paul. And I wasn't trying to make a name for Paul. My speech, verse 4, it says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the real deal, and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Amen? In other words, that we, when we conduct ourselves in the right way in the things of God, that it ought to give the people who don't have the things of God, whether it be sinners or someone just freshly saved and they need to grow in God, it gives them an appetite for what we have. Amen? That's what it is. They should have a hunger and thirst for what God has for them. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not in a bunch of noise. It's in power. Amen? Our lives and our spiritual conduct should make people want the things of God. Have a desire for them. Amen? He said in Acts, I remember a time when Dad said he went to a church and has run a revival. And Sandersville, Georgia, he told me. He said that at the end of the service, he was talking to the pastor, and one of the members came up and looked at the pastor and said, well, hear this man preach, we ain't got nothing. And the pastor said, oh, we got it because we shout. That ain't nothing. It's kind of weird, isn't it? The devil's not afraid of a shout, is he? And in fact, I've never heard of anybody casting a devil out with a shout. Come out of him. No, never heard of that. Never heard of that. In fact, the Holy Ghost is decent and in order. How many agrees with that? He's a perfect gentleman. He's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of instability or disorder or commotion. Amen? However, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. As a pastor, our first pastor told Sister Connie that when, you know, I was raised Pentecostal and she was Well, a few times she went, old heathen. She's up there. She hears me. She knows what side her bread's buttered on. Oh, yeah. She knows I'm the head of the house. She's only the neck that turns the head. Sometimes I slam the door too, Brother Anthony. Ha ha. Oh, yeah. We never argue, but sometimes we have moments of intense fellowship. Will, next door neighbor, I got to tell him to come in men's fellowship. I carried him some CDs the other day. Will sometimes hear me explaining a few things to her. Amen. But our first pastor, you know, since kind of had all these questions, you know. All these questions, you know, like, I don't know if that stuff's real or not. I mean, in that church, it was a small church, and it was everything was done right. It was decent in order, you know. But you still wonder. I mean, you know, you brought up this way, and then you got this way, you know. And you say, I don't know about that, you know. And he says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know. Don't throw the works of the Holy Ghost out because of a few fleshly people, in other words. Acts 17, chapter verse 10, it says, And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jew. And these were more noble. Everybody say more noble. More noble. I want a noble church, don't you? Amen. A noble church. What's a noble church? Noble means well born. Well born. He said, Brother Dave, I come from a poor family. You've been born again. Well born again people that know how to conduct themselves in the things of God. Knows how to operate the kingdom of God. Amen? I mean, you got to run it like a business. Because it is a business. It's God's business. Amen. Everything that we do. I mean, if you're working down, even at McDonald's, if you're the owner, if you own the McDonald's down here, and you had somebody working in there, and people, when they come in, you know, they back there and slinging food around and, you know, hollering and, you know, just doing all kind of crazy stuff. And, you know, how would you like that? If you just had a little ice cream truck and you know, there's driving the truck around and squealing tires around the neighborhood, speeding through. I mean, how would you like that? No, you'd want them to conduct themselves right, you know. Why? Because you want that customer that came through the door to come back. And the way to get them to come back is to conduct yourself in the right ways. Amen? Awesome, isn't it? These were more noble. They were well born. In other words, they conducted themselves well than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. They made sure that what they were doing was scripturally sound. Amen. Make sure we're scripturally sound in everything. Make sure we do it in the right way. Therefore, many of them believed. Why? Because they was doing it right. There was not being a confusion, a disorder, a commotion, disturbance, or dishonor, but they was doing it the right way, and many believed. Amen. Of the women and honorable women and Greeks and of men, not a few, but many of them believed. because they did it the right way. There's a right way to have church. How many believes that there's a right way to have church? There's a right way to pray for people. There's a right way to worship God. There's a right way to use the zeal that we all have. We all love God in here. I'm a firm believer that every one of us in this building tonight loves God, and we all have a fervency and a zeal about God. Amen? I believe we all in here have a zeal of God, but we've got to use that zeal in the right way. We can't misguide that zeal. You see, there's a danger in not having the real power of the Holy Ghost or trying to do it in the flesh. There's a danger in it. There's a danger in what he said here in Ezekiel, the very first scripture. He said, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. There's a danger in that, not having the goods. In Acts in the 19th chapter, there's a story about that. In verse number 13, it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. See, they didn't have the goods themselves. They was just kind of trying to do it in the flesh. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. What happened, Brother David? They saw that what happened to these people that was doing it in the flesh, and they woke up and said, we better not do that in the flesh anymore. We better do the real deal. We better learn how to conduct ourselves in the right ways. Amen. It left the naked, wounded, and humiliated. It's kind of like the church trying to do things in the flesh and doing it without the power of the Holy Ghost, the real deal. And it leaves the church naked, wounded, and humiliated. You leave the church half mad, and you leave the church all upset. Amen? Because that one was in the flesh, and that one was in the flesh, and this one messed up the service, you know? Doing it in the flesh has been a hindrance in the church world from the beginning of time. What happened? Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They confessed. I've been doing it in the flesh, man. I want the real deal now. And what happened? Many of them also which used curious arts. What does that mean? That means working all around. It means offensive. It means meddlesome of busybodies. They brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Look what happened, though. When they began to do it the right way, look what happened. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Wow. Look at the one next to you and said, I think we better start doing it the right way. Amen. I mean, when we do something, let's make sure it's led by the Spirit of God. Say, is this a God or not? Am I conducting myself? Am I noble in this? Am I edifying the body? Or am I not edifying the body? How does it work? Always be aware that our actions, if not led by the Spirit, can kill a service. I've seen it. You've seen it probably. If you've been around church world a long time, it can kill a service. It can kill people spiritually, and it can kill your testimony. Amen. That's why he says, know them that labor among you. So zeal that we got to have. But blind, misguided zeal is the wrong thing. We need to use the zeal of God in the right way. We need to make sure that we do things in order and not to be confusion. Because God is not in it. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, the building, the edifying of the church. Amen? Come on, stand with us.